welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and this hour, sitcoms. Later on, a broadcast of the Aldrich family, but first, it's the Burns and Allen Show. First heard on NBC on September 9th, 1940.
From Hollywood, the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show for Hormel and Spam.
Singing glee, we're the smoothies three. Last but not least, and with Bud Heaston.
Friends, we have an answer to that age-old question, what can I give the family for breakfast? Serve Spam and Eggs, a breakfast surprise that is completely satisfying and so easy to fix. Just open a can of Spam, cut off thin slices of this delicious meat, and fry quickly in a hot pan. With eggs sunny side up, those tender, juicy, sizzling hot slices of Spam are sure to please every appetite. Isn't it true the only reason you use a certain kind of food is because it's good and good for you? Friends, you'll find both delicious taste and top-notch quality in Spam. A perfect blend of pork shoulder with ham meat added. Pre-cooked to preserve all the natural juicy flavor of these choice cuts of meat. Seasoned according to Spam's carefully guarded formula, this grand-tasting meat of many uses makes a hit cold or hot. Ask for Spam, S-P-A-M, when you shop tomorrow. Serve Spam and Eggs. And then try the other easy recipes on the label. And here they are, your two Spambassadors of fun, George and Gracie.
Well, thank you very much. Am I happy tonight?
Oh, you should be, George, winning that $200,000 breach of contract suit against Elsie Trelefast.
And boy, did I celebrate.
Say, you know that judge took me home after the trial, and he tried to kiss me, but I wouldn't let him.
He tried to kiss you?
Yeah, he must be a pretty good lawyer.
What makes you think so?
Well, all evening he kept trying to break my will.
Gracie, that happens to be a very fine judge. Did you know that he's greatly feared on the bench?
Well, I don't know about the bench, but he certainly scared the life out of me in the rumble seat.
Anyway, I'm very happy that the case is over. Let's forget it.
Yes, George, it must be quite an ordeal to have the arm of the law after you.
Oh, that's nothing. I had it around me.
What a feeling that was. To get to a court and find out the man I hit with the car is the judge who was trying my case. And as soon as I saw him, I got 5 years older.
Oh, good, George. Now you can start collecting your Social Security.
Nice going, Bud.
Oh, thank you. Well, running into the judge was nothing to worry about, though. It was just a little accident.
Nothing to worry about? Do you know what you can get in Los Angeles for hitting a pedestrian?
Yeah, a driver's license.
Well, anyway, I want to thank you all for being my character witnesses.
Saben que yo estoy muy orgulloso de señor Burns por la manera.
Yes, I get it. Fine. Artie, what's Senor Lee saying?
He was proud of you at the trial when you took the offensive.
Oh, well, thanks, Senor Lee.
In fact, he says you were the most offensive man in the whole courtroom.
That's right.
If that Artie Shaw doesn't keep that guitar player quiet, he's going to find a pink slip in his envelope.
George, I don't think Artie Shaw wears a pink slip.
Of course he doesn't wear a pink slip.
I know something that you don't know.
Artie, what's the matter with that Senor Lee?
Well, he's unhappy about his job.
Well, if he's unhappy on Saturday night, why don't you give him a little extra?
A little extra wouldn't make him happy, I mean.
Well, your little red-headed extra from Paramount would.
Gracie, that's only a platonic friendship.
Should happen to me.
Senor Shaw, why don't you introduce me to her? She's very cuticle.
cuticle? Hey, Don Juan, let me give you a little bit of advice. Women are slow poison.
I'm in a hurry.
Did you know that I had less trouble in court last week than I'm having here?
Oh, you should worry, George. You saved $200,000.
What $200,000?
Boy, if I had that kind of money, I'd spend $199,999.95 for spam.
What's the other nickel for?
Call up the grocer in case I run out.
Run out. I thought so, yes. Well, stop with that $200,000. Gracie, you know I haven't got that kind of money.
Oh, what about your salary each week?
What about your half? What are you laughing at?
I don't get it.
Why does everybody pick on me? Am I always going to be a fall guy? Am I such an awful dope? Am I ever going to mean anything on this program?
Is he? Tune in next week and find out.
Oh, quiet. Well, I'm going down to write out that check for $25 for court expenses, which will clear up that Elsie Trallifast case once and for all.
Don't pay it.
Don't pay it?
No.
Today is the last day, and if I don't pay it, I'll be sued for contempt of court.
My friend Millard Beyer will fix it for you. Don't pay it.
Millard Beyer?
Yes.
Who's he? Probably some small-time fixer.
Small-time? He only happens to be on the crime commission.
The crime commission?
Sure. Every time there's a crime, he gets a commission.
But look, Gracie, it's only $25.
Don't pay it. Millard will fix it for you. I'll phone him.
Well, what can I do?
Let me see now. Where can he be? Oh, yes. Operator, give me the Cotton Club, New York City.
New York City?
Hello? Cotton Club? Is Millard Beyer there? Oh. That's swell. That's good. That's wonderful.
Gracie, this is costing a fortune. Is Millard Beyer there?
No, that's grand.
Wait a minute.
That's marvelous.
What's grand? What's marvelous?
The music of the Cotton Club. Want to listen to it? It's swell.
Give me that phone. Now the smoothies, Bad, Charlie, and Little will sing I'll Never Smile Again. Calling New York City to save $25.
George, so if you take
Gracie,
my advice...
I don't want to hear any more about Millard Beyer. That last call cost me $19. I've got to pay this $25 court expenses. Today is the last day, so stay out of it. Now, wait a minute, Gracie. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I know you were trying to help me. Oh, forgive me, Gracie. Now I feel awful. I feel like a skunk, a scoundrel. rat. Gracie, will you please forgive me?
I'm not crying about that.
No? What are you crying about?
Did you see that picture, Rebecca?
It was very sad, but will you stop crying? I still haven't sent the check.
The judge, before you do that, let me make one more tiny little phone call to Millard.
Well, all right, but no New York.
No.
Number, please.
Get me Gladstone 1131.
That's better.
Montreal.
Montreal?
Montreal, Canada speaking.
I want to speak to Millard Beyer.
How do you spell the first name?
With difficulty.
Did you say Hillard Beyer?
What?
Did you say Hillard Beyer?
No, Millard Beyer. M as in Millard, I as in Millard, L as in Millard, A as in Millard, R as in Millard, and D as in Dave.
Here's your party.
Hello, Dave speaking.
Dave? How do you spell it?
D as in Dave, A as in Dave, B as in Dave, E as in Elmer.
Hello, Elmer.
Hello, Dave.
What's going on here?
Where's Millard?
Take it easy.
He's out with Slavko Vorkapitch.
How do you spell it?
S isn't Dave, L isn't
Look, will
Dave.
You hang up? Hang up!
That call will be $152.
Charge it to George Burns.
$152? Give me that phone.
Who's this?
This is George Burns.
George Burns of the radio?
Yes, George Burns of the radio.
I never miss you.
You don't miss me?
I don't hear you and I don't miss you.
Thanks. Gracie, so far it's cost me $171 to save $25, and I just assured
George,
you...
I just thought of something. You saved $200,000 in that Elsie Traliffas case, and if you'd like to go into business with me...
Look, I don't want to go into any business. I'd like to pay my court costs. Today is the last day.
George, you better go into some business, because the way the income tax is today...
What do you know about income tax? What is income tax?
Well...
Yeah, what is it?
The way it works is the government takes your salary.
Yes.
That's it. The government takes your salary.
You said it.
George, you don't have to invest all that $200,000.
I've got $200,000? Who believes that? You know, I spend a few dollars.
Who believes that?
It costs me $50,000 a year to live.
It isn't worth it.
It is worth it.
Who believes that?
Look, will you people stop worrying about me?
Senor Burns?
I've got my own troubles, you know.
Senor Burns?
I've got to send that check back.
Hey, Poopsie!
Stop calling me Poopsie! What is it?
Senor Burns, if you want to go into business, why don't you buy a string of racehorses like Bang Crosby?
It's not Bang, it's Bing.
Bang.
Bing.
Bang.
Bing.
Bang.
Bing.
It's 4th of July?
Anyway, racehorses are not Crosby's business. That's his hobby, horses.
And they run like hobby horses.
Now, stop. I've had enough of this. I've got to make out that check for $25. Today is the last day.
But, George...
I don't want to be helped anymore. Gracie's silly phone calls have... They've already cost me
$171.
$320?
I did it again.
You did it again?
Honolulu.
You called Honolulu?
Millard Beyer wasn't there.
And what cost all that money?
Well, I spoke to a hula dancer, and you know what gossips they are.
Hula dancers are gossips?
I never saw such busybodies.
Gracie, I owed the court a few dollars, which I was very happy to pay. And now I owe the phone company
$320.
$480.
I'm going to do it again.
You're going to do it again?
Give me the phone.
Get away from that phone. Get away from that phone. Gracie, get away from that phone. Sound man, will you open the door?
4 years in Harvard, and this is what I do for a living.
Everything happens to me.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Don't you remember me? I'm your brother, Willie.
Oh, sure, I remember you. I'll send you the $20 at the end of the week.
Well, I thought maybe if I made up a joke, you'd make it $30.
Willie, look, will you go home? Go home.
I have a very funny joke. Have you got a sleeping tablet?
Why, have you got a headache?
No, that's not the joke. You're just supposed to say why, and then you hear some stuff.
Well, all right. Why do you want a sleeping tablet?
I've got a date with a dream. No?
No.
Don't forget to send me the 20.
Okay, goodbye.
By the way, Goldie's little boy got a gold star for being a monitor.
That makes me very happy. Goodbye. Look, sound man, the roof of the building will cave in with those door slams. You know, there are worse jobs than being a sound man.
Mr. Burns, my friends will be very glad to hear that.
Good.
You see, one of them wrote a treatise on technocracy. Another one discovered the new element thermalin. Another one of them won the Phillips Prize for Chemical Research. And they've all invited me to the annual outing of our honorary society.
And I suppose they're ashamed of you being a sound man.
They are.
Then why did they ask you along to the outing?
I am the only one who has a car.
I better write out that check before it's too late, or where's Gracie?
I'm here.
Gracie, are you still on the phone?
Please, please. Hello? What? What's that you say? Miller's buyer isn't there?
Gracie, why are you speaking so loud?
Well, you gotta talk loud when you talk to Egypt.
Egypt? Doesn't this Millard Beyer ever go to Pomona or Long Beach?
Sorry, Millard Beyer isn't here. He left for the West Indies. Have you tried Bahamas?
Yes, I've tried Bahamas. They're very uncomfortable to sleep in, don't you think so?
Oh, oh, nice. That's an extra $20, that blow, on the phone. Gracie, this is costing me a fortune. Will you hang up?
That will be $700 for 3 minutes.
Charge it to George Burns.
$700? I won't pay it.
George Burns won't pay that money. He says it's an outrage. He says you've got a lot of nerve, and where do you get that stuff?
You just spoke another minute. It's $900.
$900? Give me that phone. Operator, it's bad enough to charge $700 for 3 minutes without charging an extra $200 for a minute of explanation. You can't charge $900.
You just spoke another minute. It's $1,100.
$1,100?
You give me that phone.
No, you don't. $1,600 to save $25. Huh, what a phone bill.
You don't have to pay it.
What do you mean I don't have to pay it?
Well, I know somebody who can fix it. Operator, give me Newfoundland.
Get away from that telephone. Get away from it.
Thank you.
was Artie Shaw, his clarinet and orchestra playing Begin the Begin. You know, it was Begin the Begin that made Artie Shaw, and it was Artie Shaw that made Begin the Begin. Of course, that was back in 1937 when Begin the Begin began.
Thanks, George. Now can I pass the plate?
What plate?
The one that's loose in your mouth.
My brother Willie must have made up that joke.
Operator, are you sure Millie Byer isn't there?
Gracie, are you still on the telephone?
Oh, please, George. Operator, have you tried his igloo?
Igloo? That's in Alaska.
Well, sure. It doesn't cost $700 to call Glendale.
$700? Give me that phone.
George, while you've got some money left, you'd better go into business with me before it's too late.
Look, in the first place, Bud, I'm not going into business with you. And in the second place, you're in a business.
What business?
Selling spam, remember?
Why, George, I'm surprised at you. Selling spam isn't a business, it's a pleasure.
Oh, I was naughty again.
So you were. Well, folks, you've all been amused by the stories your children have brought home about their experiences at school. But here's a letter from Winnetka, Illinois, that sort of tickled us. The reason is obvious, as you'll discover in a moment. The writer said, "My youngster in the third grade insisted on extra spamwiches in his lunchbox. After a few questions, I found out why. When the youngsters trade sandwiches at school, a spamwich has a trade-in value of two ordinary sandwiches. Now, I don't know how many deals are made each day," the letter concludes, "but I thought you might like to know how children regard spam in our neighborhood. Well, mothers, have you tried spam for school lunches? Youngsters go for this delicious meat in a big way. You see, in making spam, Hormel uses the choicest cuts. Pure pork shoulder with ham meat added. All ready to eat as soon as you open the spam can, this tender, juicy meat saves you time. Whether you fix a school lunchbox or the youngsters come running home at noon, spam is wholesome food that sticks to the ribs and satisfies the children's taste. So make spamwiches for school lunches. The directions, along with other cold or hot uses, are right on the label. When you shop tomorrow, ask your food dealer for Spam, a Hormel product."
Slice it, dice it, fry it, bake it, cold or hot, Spam hits the spot.
Slice it, dice it, dice it, slice it. No matter how I slice it, I'm still in the ground. Fine thing. To save $25, I now owe the phone company
$3,200. $3,700.
$3,200.
I know something that you don't know.
You did it again.
Tahiti.
Tahiti?
I phoned during a hurricane.
Mildred Byer wasn't there.
Neither was Tahiti.
Gracie, some dark night when nobody is looking...
George, you don't have to worry anymore.
I don't.
Now, I'm not going to make any more phone calls.
Oh, well, at last.
I told the long-distance operator to spare no expense and for her to locate Millard Byer.
I see. That's much better. Look, Gracie, some dark night when nobody is looking...
Hello? South Africa calling. We have information concerning Millard Byer. $500. Collect.
Charge it to George Burns.
I'm nicely going bankrupt.
Copycat.
Quiet.
Here's your party.
Thanks.
Hello, America. Stanley speaking.
Have you found Millard Byer?
Millard Byer? I'm still looking for Dr. Livingston. Goodbye.
Well, it cost me $500 to find out that Stanley is still looking for Livingston. Come in.
Mr. Burns?
That's right.
I'm from the sheriff's office. I have a warrant for you for failure to pay your court expenses.
Court expenses? You mean the $25 I've been trying to pay all evening? Well, here it is.
I'm sorry, brother, but it's too late now.
But, mister, I always pay my bills on time, don't I, Artie?
That's right, mister. He always pays my salary on time.
You see?
50 cents down and the rest on time.
Now, look, Artie.
I'm sorry, I'll have to take this warrant. It's Judge Hamill's orders.
Judge Hamill, that old fogey...
Just a moment. Judge Hamill is the best judge in this county.
Next best.
What do you mean, next best?
Of all the judges in the county, he next best.
Well, mister, I'm not going to take this warrant because I had every intention of paying the $25.
Senor Sheriff, don't worry. Senor Burns has an honest face.
Really?
Honest, that's a face.
Now, look, I'm not going to take that warrant.
Well, you'll have to.
Well, give it to me.
Gracie, you can't tear that up.
We certainly can.
Tearing a warrant, eh? Well, mister, you'll be fined $1,000 for contempt of court.
Oh, yeah? Well, George knows Millard Byer who can fix it for him.
Someone who can fix it, eh? Well, that's bribery. That'll cost you another $1,000.
I didn't say anyone was going to fix it for me.
Now, denying it, eh? Well, that's perjury. That'll cost you another $1,000.
Now, wait a minute. Did you ever hear of me? I happen to be George Burns of the radio, and I get $5,000 a week.
For what?
For being a comedian.
Taking money under false pretenses. Well, now you are in trouble. I'll see you in court.
Well, Gracie, I can thank you for all of this.
Oh, it was nothing. I'd do it for anybody.
Instead of paying $25, I wind up paying $25,000.
Hello?
This is Zanzibar calling.
Zanzibar?
Is the Millard Byer there?
No, he left last week for Mandalay.
Mandalay? Where's Mandalay?
Where the dawn comes up like thunder out of China.
George Burns.
Give me that phone. And I don't want any more phone calls. Don't touch that phone.
Well, it might be Millard Byer.
I don't care. Don't touch that phone. Well, never mind. Just say I'm not in.
Hello? What? Who? George Burns? Oh, I'm sorry. He's not here. Goodbye. Hmm. Oh, you should have answered it.
Who was it? Millard Byer?
No, it was the Pot of Gold program.
The Pot of Gold?
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show, on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode from September 9, 1940. Just months after a major network switch, they had previously been broadcast on CBS for a good deal of their career, and on June 26, 1940, performed their last show on CBS, moving to NBC on July 8th of that year, with the backing of Artie Shaw and his orchestra. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for The Aldrich Family, an episode from the 7th of October, 1940, on NBC.
The Aldrich Family, based on characters originated by Clifford Goldsmith and starring Ezra Stone as Henry with Jackie Kelk as Homer.
Henry! Henry Aldrich!
Coming, Mother.
Now for the Aldrich Family. When you take a typical American family plus some friends and neighbors and then add one teenage boy, well, you needn't bother to stir things up. The boy will always attend to that. Henry Aldrich is no exception to the rule. The scene opens in the Aldrich living room. It's early morning.
Now, Alice.
Now, Mother.
Sam, I'm not crying.
Of course not, Alice.
Of course not, Mother. Here, take my handkerchief.
Alice, you knew Mary'd be doing a thing like this eventually.
Yes, only... Sam, she's so young.
You and Father wouldn't want me around the house for the rest of your lives, would you?
It's just a matter of getting used to the idea, Alice. You'll get over it in no time.
Of course you will, Mother. It's Henry Aldrich.
Oh, gee whiz.
Henry.
Henry Aldrich, how long have you been there under that piano?
Why, not long, Mary. Dear, please get off the floor with your clean sweater.
Yes, Mother.
And what's in that gunny sack beside you?
Gunny sack? Mother, that's no gunny sack.
No?
Gee whiz, no.
Then what is it?
Hi, Mrs. Aldrich.
My goodness. Sam, it's Homer.
An understandable mistake, Alice. Henry, would you mind telling us what you and Homer were doing under that piano?
Doing, Father?
If you please.
Why, you might say we're looking for a golf ball, Father, that accidentally rolled under there from the hall.
A golf ball?
Yes, sir, and I was helping him.
You don't say.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Then may I ask why you didn't let us know you were there?
Why,
we didn't think it was polite to interrupt you.
Henry Aldrich, I never thought you'd stoop as low as spying under piano on your own sister.
Spying? Mary, I was spying?
Yes, you were.
Well, honest, Mary, we hardly heard a word, did we, Homer?
Gee, no, hardly a word.
Well, then suppose you each take an apple and go outside.
Outside?
Yes.
Before we find out why Mary's leaving home?
Homer!
Mr. Ulrich, I'm not nosy. I'm just naturally curious.
When the time comes for you boys to know, you will be told. Now run along, Henry.
Yes, Father. Come on, Homer.
Well, Alice?
Mother, won't you please give me your permission?
Boy, Henry, why do you suppose they're throwing Mary out of the house?
Homer, they're not.
No? She's throwing them out?
No, she's just leaving peacefully.
What for?
Well, don't you get it? Mary's finally getting married.
Mary?
Sure.
Mary?
Sure.
To a fella?
Homer.
Well, it's just that I've always looked at her as just a member of your family, not someone a person would marry.
Why not? Gee whiz, when you forget you're prejudiced, Mary's really a darn good-looking girl.
She is?
Sure.
Henry, who do you think she's doing it to?
Doing what to?
Getting married to.
Gee, Kermit Hannigan, I guess.
The Kermit Hannigan who's a reporter on the Times?
Well, who else could it be?
Oh, boy, Henry. You'll be able to get your name in the paper anytime you want to.
Not exactly, Homer. Kermit sort of specializes in obituaries.
Now, Mary, I must start my housework.
But won't you say you'll let me first?
Alice, why not?
Sam, I told you I... Henry, why aren't you outside?
Why, we're just about to go, Mother. Come on, Homer.
Okay, and good luck, Mary.
Homer, we're not supposed to know.
You see, Mother, even Homer approves.
Dear, Homer is not your mother.
Why not say yes and get it over with?
Well, Mary, will you ask Alvin to let you come home to lunch every day?
All the way home?
Well, Mary, I'm sure he can spare you for that long.
Well, I'll ask him.
And tell him I insist that you take a nap in the afternoon.
Now, Alice.
Sam, she's always been a little weak since she had her tonsils out.
That was when she was 12.
I know, but she's never completely recovered.
Mother.
Now, Alice, I was 14 when I got my first job, and it did me a world of good.
Yes, Sam, but your tonsils were like iron.
Alice, why get so upset over a little thing like Mary getting a job?
Sam Aldrich, if your only daughter were going to work in a hardware store filled with saws and chisels, you'd be upset, too.
Sodas, boys.
Thanks, Mr. DeHaven.
Now, what'll it be, Mrs. Kilmer?
Gee whiz. Imagine. Poor little Mary getting married.
Homer, what's so terrible about that? Gee whiz, all people have to get married sometime. Show me one person who isn't.
Your Aunt Harriet.
She's a rare case, Homer. Besides, she's going to marry Alvin Springer someday.
The one who owns Springer's Hardware?
Yeah.
When?
Someday.
She better hurry if she's going to.
Homer, she's not that old. She's just around 40.
Sure, but where around 40?
Just around it, Homer. She's been that way for as long as I can remember.
Well, 40's a good place to get stuck, I guess.
Gee, you know, it's going to feel funny with Mary out of the house.
Funny how?
I don't know. I'll miss her. Gee, there's one swell kid, Mary. When I think of all the swell arguments we've had together, gee, there's one swell kid.
Henry, you'll get over it.
Sure, but just the same, every time I pass her empty room, I'll get a pain. Right here.
Excuse me, Henry, did I hear you say you had an empty room?
What's that, Mr. DeHaven?
If it's for rent, my nephew might go as high as $6 a week.
$6? Take it, Henry, take it.
Now, wait a minute, Homer. Mr. DeHaven, we're not renting the room. It's just that my sister Mary is getting married, we think.
You don't say.
Mr. DeHaven.
What's that, Mrs. Kilmer?
Do you have this in the lobby economy side?
Yes, I'll be right with you. Well, if you decide to rent that room, Henry, let me know.
Gee, Henry, $6. Why did you turn him down?
Because it's ridiculous, that's why.
Well, what's ridiculous about it? You said yourself every time you pass her room, you'll get a pain. Right here.
Sure, only what would my father say?
Henry, he'll probably double your allowance if you bring in $6 extra a week.
I don't know.
And you might even get more than $6 if you throw in breakfast.
Breakfast? Homer, my mother would never agree.
Why not? What's one more stranger at breakfast?
But that takes all the profit out of it.
Henry, how much can one egg and one orange and one cup of coffee cost? 10 cents. 15 at the most. 20 tops.
Suppose he wants 2 eggs.
We'll put that in the contract. 1 egg or his rent goes up.
Well,
as a matter of fact, if we're getting 8 for breakfast, think of all we could get if we threw in dinner.
Now listen, Homer.
Henry, if your mother doesn't object to breakfast, why should she to dinner?
But Daisy! Oh, my goodness.
Who was that on the phone, Mary?
Daisy Harper. And, Mother, she's never said anything so strange to me in my life.
Strange? How?
Well, I no sooner lifted the receiver when she said, why didn't I tell her first? And then she burst out crying.
What?
Then she hung up.
What do you suppose made her say that?
I can't imagine. Unless
what?
You don't think she wanted that job at Springer's, too?
You think so?
Well, my goodness, she certainly has her nerve. Especially when she knows I'm taking the job because of Kermit.
Kermit?
Yes. He asked me what I did during the day. And, Mother, I've never been so tongue-tied in my life.
Oh, I'll see who that is. Hello?
Alice, this is Sam. Do you know any other Aldriches in Centerville?
Other Aldriches?
Yes, that might rent rooms.
No, Sam. Why?
Well, I just had a call from a man who heard from another man that we have a room for rent.
We?
With breakfast.
My goodness. What did you tell him?
That he obviously had the wrong party.
I should say so. My goodness, we just about have enough room for ourselves.
Can you hear me from under the car, Chester?
Yeah, sure. Hand me that hammer.
Gee, sure.
I'll get it, Hen. I'll get it. Here, Chester. Oops. Oh, boy. Did that get you, Chester?
No, not quite. It was a good try, though. Now, what's the best offer you've gotten for the room so far?
Gee, a fellow went to $8 not more than 10 minutes ago.
Oh, as high as that?
Did we mention breakfast was included?
Yeah. And it's a nice room?
I'll say it has double exposures.
Oh, yeah?
The person who's moving out had it for nearly 19 years.
You don't say. Where is this room, Henry?
Well, if I get permission, at our house.
Yours? I didn't know you had an extra room.
We don't. But we're losing Mary.
Mary, your sister? She's sick?
No. She's getting married.
Oh, you don't say. Who's the lucky guy?
Well, I'm not absolutely positive. And, gee, I wouldn't want to start any unfounded rumors.
Oh, naturally. Henry, I'll take the room.
You will?
Oh, boy, Henry.
To tell you the truth, I'm not very happy where I am.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll have to get my mother and father's permission first.
Well, that shouldn't be any trouble, should it?
Well, I don't think
Henry,
so.
Henry, you won't have any trouble at all.
Okay. Now, will you excuse me while I make a phone call?
Sure, Chester, old kid. Henry, why don't we celebrate with a soda?
Number, please.
Elm 996.
Elm 996.
Henry.
Were you calling I, Chester?
How are the acoustics in Mary's room?
The acoustics? Well, Mary never had any trouble with them.
Hello?
Mrs. Smith, this is Chester. You know, the fellow who has your front room?
Yes?
Mrs. Smith, are you still against my practicing in my room? Well, in that case, Mrs. Smith, it may interest you to know that I'm taking my instrument and moving.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that. I've got at least 20 people waiting to snap up that room.
Mr. DeHaven, could I have a tube of toothpaste, please?
Sure thing, Mary. Here you are. I guess you're looking forward to the big day.
How did you hear about that?
Oh, I heard. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. DeHaven.
You must be pretty excited.
I am. It's my first.
I assumed it was.
Here's the money for the toothpaste.
Thank you. Who's the lucky man?
Aren't you nice? I wouldn't call him lucky exactly. I'm very inexperienced. But it's Alvin Springer.
Who?
Alvin Springer.
The Alvin Springer that's... Alvin Springer?
Yes. I've got to run along now. If you need any hardware, drop in.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I will. I
definitely... Oh, gee whiz. Can't you watch where you... Oh, my goodness, it's you two.
Gee whiz. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Henry, I'm in a hurry.
Goodbye, Mary.
Goodbye, Mary. Henry, now that I take a good look at her, You're right. She's darn pretty.
I know.
Gee, the more I look at her, the more I wish I'd noticed her when she was available.
Homer, you and Mary?
What's so crazy about that?
Well, hello there, boys.
Hi, Mr. DeHaven. Two double skyscrapers.
Yes, sir.
And, Mr. DeHaven, in view of business conditions, I don't think we can let your nephew have it for six.
Have what?
Mary's room.
Oh, yes. Well, Henry, you could have bowled me over with a feather when she told me who she was married.
She told you?
Sure. And the last man in the world I'd think of would be Alvin Springer.
What?
What?
Alvin Springer?
Old Alvin Springer.
Oh, gee whiz, Mr. DeHaven, you must be mistaken. She's not marrying Mr. Springer. She's marrying Kermit Hannigan.
Henry, she just told me herself. Two skyscrapers coming up.
Gee whiz, Henry. Mr. Springer.
Homer.
Of course, it has its good side. You'll never have to worry about nuts and bolts again.
Homer, don't be ridiculous. Mr. DeHaven must have misunderstood Mary.
In what way?
Gee whiz, Mr. Springer's promise to my Aunt Harriet. Why would he marry Mary?
Henry, tell me the truth. If you had your choice between Mary and your Aunt Harriet, which would you take?
Getting back to the troubles of Henry Aldridge. Henry and Homer have unwittingly started a rumor that Mary is about to be married. But when the story returns to the boys, they're dumbfounded to learn that old Alvin Springer has entered the picture as Mary's prospective bridegroom. The scene opens in Alvin's hardware store. It is later that day.
Hello there, Mr. Springer.
Well, hello, Mary.
Stop by and tell you I can take the job.
Well, that's fine.
My goodness, I had a terrible time before they said yes. Why is everyone so against women working?
Speaking of that, Mary.
Yes, Mr. Springer?
I hope you won't think I'm prying, but, well, once you start working here, you'll stay, won't you?
My goodness, why shouldn't I?
Well, I've been hearing a rumor that, you see, Mary, it takes time to train someone, and once I do, I want to be sure. You're not planning on getting married, are you?
My goodness, no.
Good.
That is, my goodness, yes.
Huh?
I mean, naturally, I hope to marry someday. But the young man I have in mind feels he should work his way out of obituaries first. And you know how long a thing like that can take.
Now, don't get the idea I'm against marriage. As a matter of fact, can you keep a secret?
Oh, yes.
I proposed to your Aunt Harriet last night.
You did? Well, my goodness. I'm so happy I'm going to kiss you.
Oh.
There, Uncle Alvin.
Oh, Mary, right in the front window of the store.
My goodness, why not? We're practically in the same family.
Yes, now that you mention it.
Well, I've got to be going.
Oh, goodbye, Mary. See you Monday morning, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock sharp.
Now, wait a minute, Henry. Shouldn't you count to 10 first?
Henry. My goodness, why are you so flushed?
Mary, I didn't believe it when I heard it. And boy, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I'd never believed it.
Believe what?
Naturally, you're free to do whatever you please, but you certainly ought to think of your family.
What are you talking about?
You know very well. And I certainly don't blame Mother for not wanting to give her permission.
Henry, why should you object to that?
Why not? Boy, I'll be the laughingstock of Centerville.
Just because I... Why, Henry, I never imagined you were that old-fashioned.
What?
And this is a free country, and I'll thank you to remember the Bill of Rights.
Okay, Mary, okay. But wait until Father hears about this.
Henry, come back. It may interest you to know he already has.
Mary.
Yes, Homer?
Mary, I may have a way out.
Out of what?
Mary, if I were to ask you to wait for me, would it sound ridiculous?
Wait for you to what?
Gee, it already sounds ridiculous.
Homer, you mean wait for you to marry me?
Are you mad?
Why, no, of course I'm not mad, Homer.
You're not? Oh, boy.
The only thing is
of course, I'd have to keep going to school until maybe someday I graduate. But if you help me with my algebra, that shouldn't take more than 3 or 4 years.
Homer!
And naturally, you'd have to get my parents' consent to give me away. But that shouldn't be too hard.
Homer!
Yes, Mary. Dear.
Homer, naturally, I'm very flattered. You're very sweet to ask me, but I'm afraid it's out of the question.
Well, if it's money you're worried about, Mary, I think I can get my father to raise my allowance.
Homer, I don't have time to explain now, but I'm afraid I have someone else in mind.
I know, but Mary, don't you think I'm an improvement? Mary.
Now, Chester, control yourself.
Control myself, Mr. Aldrich. You realize what your son's done to me? Mrs. Smith has already rented my room.
I appreciate that, Chester.
I've got my bags and my instrument case outside. Where am I going to put them?
Instrument case?
Mr. Aldrich, I'm afraid I'm going to have to insist that you find me someplace to live.
But, Chester...
And until then, there's just one thing I can do.
What?
Move in here.
Here, in my office?
I can sleep on the couch.
No, Chester.
And if we move the water cooler in here, I can shave by the window.
Now, wait a minute.
Father!
Henry, come in here.
Oh. Father, do you know what's happened?
No, but I know what's going to happen. You're going to march right out of here and not come back until you found Chester a room.
Chester? Oh, gee whiz.
Oh, you sure got me in a fine pickle, Henry.
I know, but it wasn't definite.
Henry, let's not waste time. March.
But, Father...
You heard him, Henry. And be sure the room's big enough for my glockenspiel.
I could die. I could just die.
Mary, calm down.
Mother, how can I?
You'll have to try. Your nervous system won't be in any condition for dinner.
But, Mother, don't you realize what I heard on the bus?
What?
I'm getting married.
What?
Isn't that wonderful?
Dear, you mean just because you overheard some idle conversation on a bus, you're jumping to a conclusion like that?
Mother, it was Mrs. Kilmer, and she's never wrong.
Well, yes, but... Who is it?
I don't know. Mrs. Kilmer got off the bus before I found out.
Oh, my goodness. Do you suppose those roses had anything to do with it?
What roses?
Well, they came for you a little while ago.
From who?
I don't know. There was no card with them. But do you know what was in the box?
I'll answer the door, Mother.
Try to control yourself, dear. Your hair's coming down.
I'm controlled, Mother. I'm controlled. But isn't this a mystery? Why, Kermit.
Hello, Mary.
Hello. Come in.
Thank you. Did my roses arrive yet?
Oh, you're the one.
Well, after I heard the news, I thought they're to show you how I feel, Mary.
My goodness.
But the reason I came over is, did you happen to find my umbrella among the roses?
Your umbrella?
It wasn't until I got back to the office that I noticed I had the card that went with the flowers in my hand, and my umbrella was gone.
Well, I'll certainly keep my eye out for it.
Thank you.
And you didn't have to go to anything as expensive as flowers.
That's okay, Mary. After all, a thing like this only comes once in a lifetime. And Mary...
Yes, Kermit.
We'll always be friends, won't we?
I certainly hope so.
And I'm sure you'll be very happy.
Well, I hope you will be, too.
I'll try, but frankly, it may be a little hard.
Why, Kermit...
Mary, I guess this is goodbye.
Goodbye? Aren't you coming over tonight?
Well, Mary, after all, I mean, do you think I should?
My goodness, why not?
Well, I mean, what'll Mr. Springer say?
Mr. Springer? What does he have to know?
Mary!
Just because I'm going to work in his hardware store?
Work? You're going to work after you're married?
Well, of course, Kermit, that's up to you.
Me?
Yes. I feel the husband should always decide things like that.
Mary, do you mind if I sit down on this umbrella stand? I suddenly feel weak.
Of course not.
Mary, aren't you marrying Alvin Springer?
What?
Oh, that's what I heard. I mean, someone told me Henry said...
Henry?
I think.
Well, if that isn't the most ridiculous thing I ever heard...
You mean you're not?
Now, Kermit, why should I marry someone like Alvin when I knew you were just around the corner? I mean...
Mary, I...
What, Kermit, what?
I'm stuck in the umbrella stand.
Aldrich, you come in here.
Mary, I haven't got time to... Kermit, what are you doing here?
Henry Aldrich, what are you going around saying?
Well, I'm saying something, Mary.
Henry, Mary isn't marrying Alvin.
She isn't?
Of course not. I'm just working for him.
Well, gee whiz.
And you should know better than to start rumors like that.
Mary, I give you my word of honor. I didn't start it.
No?
Gee whiz, no. I heard it from someone.
Who?
Who? Let me think now. Who was it? Who was it?
Henry, is that you?
Oh, gee whiz. Yes, Father.
Henry, have you
Father,
found the room?
Father, aren't you going to say hello to Kermit?
Oh, yes. Hello, Kermit. Henry.
Mr. Aldrich, while I have you here... While I have you here, sir...
Wait until after dinner, Kermit. We never discuss things with Father on an empty stomach.
What's that?
Father, if you're worried as to why I'm home, all I'm going to do is get a little nourishment, then I'm going to put my nose right back to the grindstone and find Chester a room.
You haven't found one yet?
Father, honest, I've looked everywhere. The only empty room I could find was in the YWCA.
I see.
And they won't let Chester above the ground floor there. What's Homer doing here at a time like this?
It must be dinner time.
Here, Hen, I've got Chester a room.
You have? Oh, boy, Father, did you hear that? Gee whiz, Homer, where did you find one?
Over in my house.
Your house? I didn't know you had an extra room, Homer.
We haven't. I'm renting him mine.
Yours?
For $14. So, Hen, could you come outside and help me with my trunk?
What?
Your trunk? What's your trunk doing over here?
Well, gee, Mr. Aldrich, I've got to have some place to live.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Once and for all, we are not renting any rooms in this house.
But, Mr. Aldrich, that's the beautiful part of it. I don't intend to pay a cent.
Listen again next week, same time, same station, for another sparkling half hour with your favorite youngster, his family, and his pals. The Aldrich Family, starring Ezra Stone, is written by Clifford Goldsmith.
The Aldrich Family, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 7th, 1940, on NBC. Wrapping up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. It's been a pleasure.